白いマットのジャングルに今日も嵐が吹き荒れる。ルール無用の悪党に正義のパンチをぶちかませ、行け行けタイガー、タイガーマス。
Welcome to the Winter Palace. I'm your host, Mark Cole, editor and publisher of Odessa Steps Magazine. Lucha Week continues with wrestler Sam Adonis, who talks to us about going to Mexico and working for CMLL. The guys he's worked with so far, comparing Lucha with British wrestling, being part of a wrestling family, and more. We should be back in a few days with another episode. Thanks for listening. We hope you enjoy the show. Lucha Week continues on the pod with a very special guest. If you've been watching CMLL the last few weeks, including the Mexicans versus Foreigners Grand Prix pay-per-view, then you saw our guest as one of the participants on the Foreigner side. To talk about life in Lucha Libre and other topics, please welcome Sam Adonis. How's it going, Sam?
I am fantastic, Mark. Thank you for having me today, my friend. I appreciate it. I'm always happy to do these podcasts and interviews and whatnot.
Cool. You've only been in Lucha for about a month, so how did you end up in Mexico?
I've actually had a lot of friends in Mexico for the past few years. Everybody's been telling me to get down here because there's a lot of opportunity for foreigners. So for the last 3 years, I've been trying to come down here and work full time. So initially, the plan was to come down here and do a few independents and end up trying to work with either CMLL or AAA. But luck be have it, everything has fast forwarded so much because of this pay per view, and I've ended up with a lot of really great opportunities. And for the last basically month and a half, I've been on the upper main event side of most CMLL cards.
Yeah, you wrestled for maybe about a week or two on independents. Like, I know you did DTU and a couple of the other ones, and then you were in CMLL. Do you think it was just that you just happened to come at the right time for this Foreign Legion tournament thing?
I do believe that had a lot to do with it. I think they were really kind of kicking up in the air who they were going to use from the United States, and I kind of fell into their lap. It was a little bit of luck, but at the same time, I'm very confident. I've had an 8-year career. I've, been signed to WWE for a year when they had their FCW territory. I worked full-time in All-Star Wrestling in Europe for the last 5 years. So the experience level, I feel like there's a lot of hard work went into it as well. It's not just luck, but, it was right place, right time. And they handed me an opportunity. They needed the American to be there. But, because of my experience all around wrestling, I've really handled the role quite well. And I've been lucky enough to learn a lot of Spanish since I've been down here. I've been doing a lot of the press and the media. And basically, I do believe the CMLL office is, quite excited to have a new American that can speak Spanish on board. So everything's really fallen into place, on both sides. I'm very happy to be here, and I'd like to think they're very happy to have me here.
So you said you've been there for about a month. Who has really impressed you so far being in the ring with, either as an opponent or as a partner?
Honestly, there's so much talent down here. It's absolutely ridiculous. And the beautiful thing about Mexican wrestling is it's very diverse. One babyface could be Maximo, who has a completely different style than Volador Jr., who has a completely different style from Marco Corleone, who has a different style from Ultimo Guerrero. So, you know, it's really awesome to be able to work with all these guys and you know, and learn the Mexican style. I've been a big lucha follower for many years, so I've known of a lot of these guys. But I'm particular to a few. One being Volador Jr. I love being in there with him for no other reason than he's such a big star down here. You know, the people love him. And when you're in the ring with Volador Jr., the room is alive. You know, the people are coming unglued. And the same could be said for Shocker and Rush as well. It seems like the people have a little bit extra of an edge when these guys are in the ring. And Ultimo Guerrero. So, you know, these guys are really awesome to be in there. And you know, it gives you that extra edge when you're in the ring. You know, you get that extra adrenaline and you fight a little harder. And, you know, the match ends up a little better because, you know, they are that step above. However, another one I've been really impressed with is Titan. I don't know if you know Titan.
Right.
He's going to the New Japan Super J Cup in a few weeks, but he's one that I wasn't too familiar with before I got here. But you know, working with him has been really cool. I definitely think he's one on the up and up. You know, I think in another 2 or 3 years he'll be one of the main event flyers down here. There's so many guys down here that I haven't had a chance to wrestle yet. But luckily, because of the, you know, 3 versus 3, it seems like you always, you know, it seems like in 2 weeks' time you end up working 12 to 15 guys. So I'm sure I'll be in there with everybody soon enough. But right now I'm just happy for all the opportunities I've been given.
It seems like you've already developed quite the rivalry with Shocker.
Yeah. Well, it kind of happened, you know, without really trying. I think I put something on Twitter one day about being the new Guapo, the new handsome wrestler in Consejo Mundial. And he ended up replying, and we had a bit of an exchange on Twitter. But because wrestling down here is so mainstream, all the media had seen it. They'd seen our exchange. So I'd go to a press conference or an interview the next day, and the first question they're asking me is, "What's going on with you and Shocker?" So, you know, a little bit of a exchange of words has kind of developed into a full-blown rivalry. And it's really cool because, you know, he's such a legend here. I'm almost getting a bit of attention off his back, which is, you know, a great thing for me. But at the same time, you know, there's a demand for it. And we were able to wrestle, I think it was 2 Fridays ago in Arena Mexico. And I've never felt the energy, anything like that. You know, they love him down here. And I really think, you know, we'll probably be wrestling a lot here in the future. And I mean, who knows if we'll end up having a hair versus hair match or, you know, end up cage matches or bleeding or whatever. Whatever happens will happen. But, you know, it's, again, I'm just happy to have the opportunity to have my name right up there with some of the Lucha legends.
Well, certainly you could certainly be a Guapo partner for him too at some point.
Well, that could definitely be on the cards. Who knows yet? I'm a rudo right now, but it seems like I'm getting a lot of attention from everybody, and I've been getting a really positive reaction. So who knows what's going to happen? And who knows? Maybe we'll bury the hatchet and have some fun together. But I don't know right now. I'm still just riding it out, and I'm loving the attention. And you know, who knows what's going to happen? I mean, he has such a good reputation. I at least won a couple big high-profile matches with him. You know, who knows? We got the anniversary coming up, you know. I'd still like something, you know, to pay off and, you know, see where it can go.
Well, it's funny with sort of the fluid nature of some people in CMLL where, you know, he's nominally a rudo, but, you know, he's cheered all the time and saying, you know, he's partners with Casas, and Casas is supposed to be a rudo, but he's really probably one of, like, the most popular people in the whole company. It's, you know, it's, you know, and guys end up, you know, you've been working as a rudo. But then you were in the foreign Grand Prix, which was a mixture of technicos and rudos, and then you're in the main event of Arena Mexico tonight, and two of the guys you're facing were your partners in the Grand Prix.
Your guess is as good as mine, my friend. That's one. It's almost the beauty of lucha libre is, you know, it's literally translated. It does mean free fight, and I think that's kind of half the fun is nothing really makes any sense. It's just kind of chaos, you know. Just get some colorful costumes and do as much crazy stuff as you can, and you know, throw everything against the wall and see what sticks. I mean, I've seen it some nights, you know, where Ultimo Guerrero, Euphoria, and Rey Escorpión are the top brutos on Sunday, and then Tuesday night, you know, it'll be me, Tongaroa, and Tama Tonga against Ultimo Guerrero, Euphoria, and you know, Piros. And it's, well, these guys were just rudos 2 days ago, but I think it's all circumstantial, you know. Volador is a baby face, you know. He's a technico, so you know, I think it's they're only going to cheer for, they're only going to cheer someone else, you know, and by default, you know, if let's say Mascara Dorado is the technico as well, clearly the people are going to pick one of them, you know. Whoever's more over might just be that technico that night, so it's kind of up in the air. It's fun, you know, and the people are just rabid down here. Every show, I mean, they can have 5,000 people in Mexico are way louder than 20,000 in the United States.
Yeah, you've worked in a bunch of places so far. I mean, you've worked in Arena Mexico, and you've worked Puebla, and you've worked sort of the circuit. So, have you found a difference between the arenas other than just the size? Because, well, watching Puebla on YouTube, it seems very intimate, but when it's packed, it seems like it's a very hot building.
It's the energy, it's the people, it's the culture, it's just different. Like I said, I mean, it's the whole time you're there, people are just screaming and having a blast. And I mean, you could honestly, I mean, I'm sure you're probably a fan of ECW, and ECW is known for having the most rabid crowd of all time. I think this, you know, EC, the Arena Mexico and Puebla and Coliseo, they make ECW look like child's play. These people are so rabid and rowdy the whole time. And I mean, it really helps your energy. It helps, you know, it's hard not to be on your best game when you're in front of that many people losing their minds. So I don't think it's necessarily the building as much as it's the people in the building.
There's an anecdote I usually tell. The first time that I went to see a show in Tijuana, the main event was it was a trios match with El Hijo del Santo was on the technico side, and we're in the middle of the third fall, and all of a sudden everybody's going crazy, and about halfway through the match, I noticed all this extra security like slowly came down to the ring, was around the ring, and I was like, uh-oh, I think I know what this finish is going to be. And yeah, it was Santo got screwed. I think he got fouled in the main event and got pinned, and so they were just prepared for everyone going crazy because this huge technical loss. And that's just sort of, you know, a sample of how wild and crazy it can get down there.
Well, it's CMLL kind of has a bit of more of a reputation for being professional, and you don't see that as much as you do on the independents. The independents is where it gets real wild, because some of those arenas are in areas of the city where I'm probably not even supposed to be going. But CMLL kind of has Arena Mexico has this aura. It's almost like going to Disney World or something. It's so professional, and the timing of the show, I mean, it's 7:30 on the dot. Everything, it's almost, you know, it's as professional as WWE, at least, you know. So it's, you know, the crowd barricades, I mean, there's security and everything, but the spectacle is almost bigger than the crowd interaction. So I mean, people get wound up, but it's such a well-oiled machine. I don't think they really worry about the riots and everything there. However, you go to a place like, you know, Arena Lopez Mateos, or we did one a few weeks ago. It was right before the Grand Prix. Me and Johnny Idol from New Zealand, we ended up going to this local show at a wrestling gym. There's probably about 100 people there, but it was in a real, real dangerous area of Mexico City. And Ultimo Guerrero is in the main event, and we just wanted to see, you know, what he had, some of his style before the Grand Prix, just kind of, you know, scouting, if you will. So he clocked us at the end of the match, and he comes over, and we had a bit of a scuffle, you know, a bit of an interaction. But me and Johnny were literally backed into the corner in front of, you know, 100 Mexicans that hated our guts, you know, and I've never, you know, I've been in wrestling 8 years, and you know, luckily in this day and age, it's not too often you see things turn too south. But, you know, I really feared for a little bit. I said, this could get pretty dodgy pretty fast. So, you know, as soon as we could, we ended up hightailing it out of there and get a taxi back to the nice part of town. But, you know, the energy and the emotion is real down here. You know, it's such a big part of the culture, and these guys have been a part of their lives for so many years. They do take it very seriously.
Well, I know a couple of weeks ago there was an indie show. I think it was either Cara Lucha or Chilanga Mask. I don't remember which. But the main event was a mask versus mask match. And, like, the fans of the two guys in the crowd got so heated, they ended up having fights in the crowd between each of the guys' supporters. And so, you know, it's... You just never know what's going to happen. And there's
I
think it was last year, they were wrestling, I want to say it was Chilanga Mask, and I think it was a match with Kamitachi and Okamura, and, like, a dog got in the ring. And it's like, it's one of those, like, you sort of want to say only in Mexico could you see, like, a dog just randomly run in the ring. But it's like, you never know.
Exactly. It's out of its mind, but it's a world of its own. And again, and that's kind of half the fun, you know. Again, I look at it as today there's no real journeyman in wrestling. You know, a lot of guys, you know, on the independents, they work a show here in Mexico. They work a show there. You know, you get your Evolve guys, your CZW guys. They do the occasional spot shows. But there's no more guys like a Chris Benoit or Owen Hart that spent, you know, 5 years in Japan, 5 years in Europe, 5 years in Mexico. That's kind of what I'm all about. I want to, you know, I've spent enough time in Europe. Now is my Mexico chapter, and I do want to get to Japan, but I want to learn the whole style. I want to know everything about Mexican wrestling. I want to know how to work a Mexican audience. I want to know how to work the holds, work the moves, you know, so if I ever get to return to WWE, I would like to be the guy that, you know, the go-to guy that they can trust, that knows everything about every corner of this world as far as professional wrestling goes.
Yeah, well, one of the things I wanted to talk to you about is sort of your career in different places. Like, you've only been in Mexico for a month or so, but how would you compare working there to all the time that you spent in England?
I mean, it's the cool thing is it's so professional here. You know, I've been lucky since I've got released from WWE. I never really had to do too many independents. I've been on a full-time wrestling circuit. You know, All-Star Wrestling in the UK is, you know, they run over 200 shows a year, and they have full-time wrestlers. You know, I honestly believe, you know, the whole world's missing out on All-Star because we don't film our events and we don't do social media. But, I mean, some All-Star events, you can go on any given night, you know, in London, England, and see, you know, let's say Mason Ryan against, you know, PN News, myself against, you know, Chris Rabar from Austria, and you'll see, you know, Marty Scurll against Dean Allmark and Zack Sabre Jr. You know, it's such a mismatch. It's legitimately like a WCW house show from 1997, you know, but because we don't film our events and we're not on social media, it doesn't have the reputation I believe it deserves. But, you know, that place was fantastic. And, you know, yeah, I've been in a professional environment. And then coming here, it's the same sort of environment. And CMLL is almost a way of life. You know, Arena Mexico is literally like a safe haven for lost wrestlers. You know, any given day, my first day walking into Arena Mexico, you know, Mano Negra was at the front door. You know, and you see these guys there every day. You know, Negro Casas is working out, Felino. You see, you know, CN Caris will show up. It's just so many of the old boys. CMLL almost becomes part of your blood. So, you know, being here, it's been awesome. It's been, it's a lot of the same as far as being professional as UK or WWE. However, it's nice because there's less travel. You know, you only do the same four arenas. And again, you kind of have a home base with Arena Mexico. So I really feel tied into Mexico City. You know, it feels very secure being a CMLL guy. You know, you get taken care of by the company and you have a lot of certainty. Whereas, you know, All-Star in WWE, you're kind of fending for yourself. You have to travel. You have to do this show. You're there. You know, there's a lot of similarities, but there's a lot of differences.
It seems like a lot of the British guys have become well-known, certainly on the internet, and now we're starting to see them make their way sort of in the mainstream through the Cruiserweight tournament and things like that. Did you get to work with some of those guys like Zack Sabre and Will Ospreay? Have you worked with them or some of the other sort of well-known British guys?
Zack Sabre and Will Ospreay are the two that I've never worked with. Zack Sabre has worked a ton of All-Star shows, but it's ironically when I'm on a different show. There's so many times where Brian Dixon will have two or three shows in one night, you know, and I'll be in Liverpool and he'll be in London. So we've never crossed paths. Will Ospreay is another I've never been around. But Marty Scurll, I've spent a lot of time with. I love Marty to death. I'm glad he's getting everything he's getting. And Mark Haskins is another one that I have a lot of time for. Really nice guy. I'm glad these guys are getting their opportunities that, you know, they deserve. However, All-Star also has another crew of guys that are basically, you know, I'll go as far to say is better than a Mark Haskins or a Marty Scurll. But, you know, they're from the old generation. They don't play that internet game. They don't want Twitter followers. They don't want to work for PWG. You know, they're happy to work and make their money in the UK. I don't know, have you heard of a wrestler named James Mason?
I believe I'd have to check. I think I've seen him here. I want to say, and I could be wrong about this, but I know at one point for King of Trios, there was a British team that came over, and he may have been one of them. I may be confusing him with someone else. But
Go ahead.
No, I was going to say, I certainly know the name. I'm just trying to think if he's someone I've actually seen over here or not.
James Mason is the definition of a wrestler's wrestler. There's not a person on the planet that does not agree that James Mason is one of the best wrestlers on earth. He's one of these guys that I truly believe that, you know, he's just about 10 years too late. If he would have came up in, you know, the 90s, he would have been that guy that had a 20-minute match every Monday night on Nitro. He would have been carrying the cards, you know, just like a Dean Malenko or a Silver King, you know, these guys that are so good that you need them on every TV show. But, you know, I don't know if he would have been a Kevin Nash or a Hulk Hogan that's going to draw you much money, but he's definitely the guy that would have, you know, handled keeping your TV show afloat, you know. Like I say, Silver King's been on every episode of Monday Night Nitro ever, you know, but he never gets credit for being one of the top guys. That's how I feel about James Mason, you know, and there's guys like him, Frankie Sloan. I was lucky enough to work with Robbie Brookside for his last summer of wrestling. I mean, the talent over there in All-Star is so unbelievable. And like I said, it's almost a shame that these guys don't get the props they deserve, you know, and it's just because, you know, my boss, Brian Dixon, never really decided to catch up with the modern technology.
Right. While you were in England, you also worked with the Knight family, right?
Page's
family?
Oh, yes.
And
they had
their own TV show for a while. So, but I think people may here know them better as Page's family, but they're certainly very well known in England.
Right. Well, they're one of my favorite groups of people on the planet. They're a lot like my family. Just, you know, wrestling does something to you. It kind of makes you forget the regular rules of normal life, you know. So with that much experience that family has, you know, they're just a wild group of people to be around. Their whole family eats, sleeps, and breathes wrestling. You know, they have the wrestling school 24/7. They have a crew of about 60 wrestlers that, you know, are always around the house. You know, I owe them so much. They've given me a lot of work. You know, when Dixon had, you know, taken some time off, they've been able to, you know, offer me a lot of work in the Norwich area. But I mean, her two brothers, Zach and Roy Knight, are just fantastic. You know, they Zach, in my opinion, could be WWE champion. You know, he's 6'3". He's one of the best talkers you ever meet. There's, you know, nobody can move like that kid can. So I mean, I'm I'm so happy to know the guys, and you know, I'm confident they'll have great futures as well. So I've definitely been lucky to spend some time there as well.
And you mentioned wrestling families, and you were trained, I believe, by your brother.
Ah, yes, exactly. I'm surprised we haven't hit on that yet. Yes, my brother, the famous or infamous Corey Graves from WWE, taught me how to wrestle back in 2000. Well, I started training when I was 14, and it was just like an ongoing process, you know, a little bit here, a little bit there. But my dad was promoting events in Pittsburgh, so he opened a wrestling school in about 2006. So for 2 years straight, every Monday and Wednesday, I was training with my brother. And he really, you know, we had other students in the class, but I think it was kind of a general understanding that the whole idea of the school was so my brother could train me. So he pretty much beat my ass, you know, and I can honestly say I was trained properly. You know, we were doing conditioning before the events. We were doing some of the drills he learned while, you know, traveling with WWE or wherever he was at. So, you know, he didn't take it easy on me. I definitely got it, you know, probably harder than a lot of guys. And, you know, my dad was running events, and I used to travel with my brother. So I wanted to be a part of wrestling so bad. I was building rings. I would want to sell the merchandise for you. I'd want to, you know, ring the bell. Let me carry the guy's robes to the back. Whatever I could do to help the show, I wanted to do. So I was really, you know, really passionate about it from a young age. And, you know, I definitely feel like I've, you know, earned what I got. So I honestly can't say anybody, I don't think there's a person on the planet that could say I don't deserve what I've got. You know, I put my time in and I definitely worked hard.
Yeah, I remember seeing him in his former life, you know, back on the scene in the 2000s, you know, and was always impressed by his work rate. And I'm really glad, you know, that he's had the success that he's had now.
Yeah, it's definitely, you know, worked out for him a long time. It's definitely a shame, you know, I've always had the dream. The finish line is obviously, you know, wrestling my brother at WrestleMania. That would be cool one day. But, you know, the concussions kind of sidelined him. But at the same time, you know, he's having a blast. He's such a, you know, he represents WWE every day. He's working at the office and he's constantly on the road. You know, they're happy to have him and he's happy to continue to, you know, wave the flag. So, I mean, it's a good thing. And again, I want to one day, you know, probably try to make it back to WWE again. And it's nice knowing that he's there and, you know, kind of keeping track on me. And I think, you know, WWE might constantly have an eye on me and what I'm doing without me actually trying, you know. They could be passing him in the hallway of, you know, Titan Towers one day and say, hey, how's your little brother doing? You know, and it's as simple as that.
Well, it seems like the wrestling business has always been about connections, especially family connections. Like you said, you're now in CMLL, and you think, you know, that place is full of, you know, sons and fathers and brothers and cousins, and, you know, all you need to do is look at all the Costases. I mean, and, you know, almost all of them are such great wrestlers, you know.
Yeah, I think that might have been something that helped my cause a little bit because when they interviewed me my first day in, you know, they asked who trained me, and I told them my brother who's with WWE and my father was a promoter. It kind of like lit a spark in their eye. You know, they realized that I'm not just another one of these, hey, I'm going to be famous in Mexico kind of guys. You know, they appreciate that knowledge and understanding and passion for pro wrestling. So I think that might have helped my cause a bit here.
Yeah, they always say that, yeah, it certainly helps to have an in, that there are guys, you know, that when they try and break in, especially in Lucha, that if you're not related to somebody, that sort of, you know, you sort of have to work extra hard because, you know, you can kind of understand in a way that if there's like a spot and it's this guy who we don't know from who knows where versus my nephew, my cousin, my sister's second, whatever, you know, that's sort of the way life works. And, you know, it has its pluses and its minuses, but, you know, generally speaking, it's, no,
I was just
going to
say, continue.
No, I was just going to say that, you know, it's, if you look at the entire history of the business, whether it's, you know, in Mexico, or you look at, in America, the like the Fullers and the Welches and all those, that family, or the, you got the Von Erichs and the Funks and the Briscoes. Like, wrestling's always sort of about family on a certain level.
Of course, of course. Well, the thing that I realize more than most is I've been lucky enough to make a living out of this. Most guys that come to Mexico and they want to be a luchador. They want to learn how to do cool spots, and they want to be a flippy guy, and they want to, they want to do what Mystico did. Well, you're never going to be what Mystico is. You know, they have Mystico, and he's better than you. So I was smart enough to come down here with a different angle and be different, separate yourself from what they're doing, and it works out well. I'm the only guy in CMLL doing what I'm doing, and me and Corleone are the only two real gringos. However, we're nothing alike, and that's the key to it all is, stand yourself apart, be different. And in the end, it kind of pays off, Too many people just want to copy and do what they've seen instead of, come down and bring something different to the table.
And in lucha, people don't always realize that for the Flyers to be as good as they are, they need guys who are good bases. Living where I live, I saw a bunch of Chikara, and it's like, yeah, it's great that you have all the guys that fly around and do whatever, but then you look, when Claudio, Cesaro was there, he was like such a great base for all those guys to make them look better. And you look at certain guys in CMLL, like I think Mephisto and Rey Escorpión are like two of the best bases for guys like Mystico and Volador to work with, because they make them look so much better.
Of course, yeah, and that's a real travesty, because I don't think, I don't think Psicosis ever got the props he deserved for getting Rey Mysterio over. It's a catch 22. People only see the guy flying, not the guy catching. But a big misunderstanding, though, is people think that the Mexican public that they love the flips and the crazy stuff. They do to an extent, but look back at history. The biggest stars in the history of Mexico never left their feet. You have your Cibernéticos and Conans and Perro Aguayo, Sangre Chicana, Cien Caras. These guys are the biggest names that ever lived, and they were fighters. They were raw, rugged fighters. That's what the people really love. They love the flying, they love the flips, but at the end of the day, the thing that sells the most tickets is the fight. That's why to this day, La Parca is one of the most over guys. La Parca and Rush right now is the big feud all over Mexico, and they're selling tickets. They don't have enough tickets left, and it's because they're fighting. It's aggressive. Whereas you can see, let's say, Mystico against Volador. Sure, they'll be flying a lot, but that's not going to sell the same tickets that Rush and La Parca will.
Well, certainly that match that Rush and LA Park had last week in Elite, was just crazy. But yeah, it's in everybody into a buzz, and now they're wrestling, I think, in Monterey soon, and that's probably going to be a huge match.
Yeah, I mean, they've been doing it for the last month all over the country, all over these small arenas and everything, but they're packing them out. That's why everybody was a bit upset the other day, because they only went like 7 minutes and the commission stopped it. But they're doing these 35-minute bloodbaths and Veracruz and everything like that, so that's what the people like, and that's what I'm kind of lucky, because I'm bringing that American style to slow things down a bit. I'm very aggressive, but at the same time, I'm willing to learn the lucha style and adapt, so I think I'm a pretty good fit right now for what they're trying to do.
I would say you've certainly been very successful in your very short time there, that's for sure.
I'm blessed, man, and I think I'm going to be staying here for quite some time, so the sky is the limit. Hopefully I get to beat Maximo for the belt here soon. I'm trying to be the heavyweight champion one of these days.
That's great. Sam, I want to thank you very much for your time. As I said earlier, you are scheduled tonight as we tape Tuesday night on CML in Mexico, in Arena Mexico. You're in the main event. So people can see you tonight And, I'm a big proponent of watching CMLL online, and you have like three chances per week to do that. So people can check you out to see if you're on the shows Monday or Tuesday or Friday night in Arena, Mexico. Do you have anything that you want to plug before we go?
No, I just hope guys, I like to think now I'm a different reason to watch CMLL. Everybody knows it's been there, but it's kind of just, it's that old pair of sneakers in the closet to a lot of American fans. Like I said, our guys here are world class. I'm happy to be here. If it's a reason for more people to watch, please watch. I'd love to, represent the USA and be the guy that everybody wants to see in CMLL. So, I mean, check it out every Monday night at 9 o'clock, every Tuesday at 7:30 on CMLL.com, and then Friday nights we're on ClaroSports.com, and I mean live broadcast. You can catch me at Twitter or Instagram at SamElias89, and yeah, just keep supporting and keep loving Lucha.
Great. Thanks, Sam, for your time. And we'll talk to everybody later in the week for the next part of our Lucha Week. Thanks for listening.